made a great supper. It's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, by the way, type of that. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them they were bidden, come, and for all things are now ready, and they all with one consent begin to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought the yoke of oxen and cannot prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and I cannot come. That's my favorite one right there. That guy was so handpicked. He didn't give a reason. My wife won't let me come. A lot of men go to hell because they're wives, folks. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go sit in the church and wait for him to come in. Amen? Know what it says. What a lot of preachers teach. You know, it's not in the Bible anywhere, by the way, anything like that. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. It's lost people. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in to my house. Brother, I love Brother with Enlighteners over there. He's called a compeller. He can't hardly walk, can't hardly memorize anything. And that word compel means to come pull, what it means. Literally, pull them in. Try to get them in. And I want to preach a little bit this morning on the virtues of street preaching. The word virtue means strength, to take a stand. That's what it means. That's what we're trying to do, is take a stand. It means bravery and convictions and courage. We're trying to show people that we have some convictions about what we believe. It means moral goodness, the practice of moral duties, and we believe it's our moral duty as a Christian to tell people that about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it also means acting in power. There's not a better description that I could give than the virtues of street preaching this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Anthony, would you take us to the Lord in prayer this morning? Amen. Amen. The Bible says there, go out into the streets and the lanes of the cities, go out in the highways and the hedges, and that's what we're trying to do. It's been all throughout history, all throughout the Bible. I'll talk about that in a minute. People have went out and preached publicly. They call it open-air preaching. Some call it field preaching in the old days. They call it street preaching, call it public ministry, whatever you want to call it. But I want to say this morning, make no mistake about it, without a doubt, 100%, America was founded under the street preacher. Not under the politician, not under the pulpit preacher, but it was founded under the street preacher. And in March 1775, a young lawyer went into Culpeper, Virginia. He rode in there as he approached the center of the town. He was shocked by the sight that he saw. In the middle of the town square, a man was lashed to a whipping post, and his back was bloody and raw, and they laid bare the metal strips of the whip and beat him to death there. And that young man, that young lawyer, asked the crowd, what did the man do to deserve such a beating as this? And the answer was that he was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he refused a license to preach from the Anglican church out there preaching on the street. That young lawyer that saw that was a young man named Patrick Henry. 2 days later, Patrick Henry goes into the 2nd Virginia Convention, March the 23rd, 1775, in Richmond at St. John's Church. Sitting in the crowd was Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and many congressmen. And Patrick Henry references what he saw on the street, and he ended with this, is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death. Amen. And he said that because he was inspired and inflamed because of Baptist street preachers. And that was, many consider that to be the greatest speech in the history of America. That was the speech that lit the flame for the Revolutionary War right there, brethren. It was a street preacher that ignited and inflamed and lit the spark that founded America. Make no mistake about it. It was the street preachers in America that brought the great revivals throughout America. But John Wesley and George Whitefield preaching in the 1700s, the first and second great awakening was bound in the 1700s and the 1770s. In the 1770s is when America was born in 1776, right at the time of the street preaching of George Whitefield, my friend. It was the street preacher that ignited the flame. The greatest revivals the world's ever seen come through the street preacher. They come through John Wesley and George Whitefield and General William Booth and Dwight L. Moody and Billy Sunday, Peter Cartwright, Charles Spurgeon. Billy Graham started preaching on the streets in North Carolina. I could go on and on and on. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this: "It would be very easy to prove that the revivals of religion have usually been accompanied, if not caused, by a considerable amount of preaching out of doors." What he said. And I'm going to give you some of the virtues of street preaching. Number one, I want to say first of all, it exercises our sovereign right. It exercises our sovereign right. Notice I said our sovereign right, not our American right, not our United States right. Sovereign means what God gave us. The Declaration of Independence starts like this. It says this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, with all men are created equal, and they are endowed with their Creator with certain unalienable rights." And brother, one of the unalienable rights God gave us is to go out in the whole world and preach the gospel. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Get Isaiah 58, Jeremiah. You know why we go out and do what we do? Because we're trying to exercise our sovereign right. Because if we don't exercise them, they're going away. They'll take them away. Over there one time Jesus told him, he said, "You're the salt of the earth. If the salt hath lost its savor, if it's not salty, it's henceforth good for nothing, but it'll be trodden under the foot of man." And brother, we don't stand up and exercise our sovereign rights, they'll trodden under the foot of man before we get through this thing. We're losing them every day. Look over to Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 15. "And he said unto them, sit in the church and wait for him to come in." God forbid. Show me that in the Bible. I've heard preachers say, "Oh, God will bring them in." Show me that in the Bible. Over and over and over, he says, "Go, go, go. Go ye in all the world." Not in the churches. "Go ye in the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Look at Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, 1. "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions." Look at Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11. Street preaching, public ministry, passing out tracts, standing up in a fast food evangelist like Brother Ben. You know what that does? It exercises our rights, what it does. Bless God, if we don't exercise them, it's just like any kind of exercise. If you don't exercise these muscles, they'll turn into flab. If you don't exercise your rights, they'll turn into flab. We won't have them. And we'll be over here screaming, "What happened? What happened? We didn't do nothing with them." Look over there in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 6. "Then the Lord said unto me," watch this, "proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, do them." Jonah chapter 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Jonah was one of the greatest preachers in the Bible, brother. He brought revival, even the animals got right toward the end of that thing. Luke chapter 14, he said, "Go out in the streets and the lanes and the city, compel them." John the Baptist, it said, "The days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea." None of them were in a church. Everybody in that Bible, from Noah to John, was a street preaching preacher. Every one of them. Every Old Testament preacher, every New Testament preacher, they went out publicly and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it exercises our sovereign rights that God gave us. Every preacher was that way. Nearly all the great preachers of yesteryear started in the streets.
During the 1500s, there's a preacher named William Farrell. I like this cat, man. He went to the streets and he said this quote. They said he turned every stump and stone into a pulpit and every house and street and marketplace into a church. Brother, that's what I like. Brother, come in the 1600s, you have the great John Bunyan. He spent 13 years in Bedford jail because preaching on the streets. Why, he spent 13 years and wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Come in the 1700s, you got the great John Wesley and George Whitefield out there preaching on the streets. You can go to the 1800s, you got Dwight L. Moody. You go to the 1900s, you got R.A. Torrey, Billy Sunday, J. Frank Norris, Peter Rutland, Earl Link, on and on and on and on and on, brother. It exercised our sovereign rights. George Whitefield said, I believe I was never more acceptable to my master than when I was standing to teach those hearers in the open field. I now preach to 10 times more people than I should if I'd been confined to the church. Miss Felicia said it the other day. We was out there sending out trustful. She said, we just reached more people than we could reach in 100 years in a church. And we reach them better a lot of times. It exercises our rights. John Wesley, his father was a preacher. When his father died, John Wesley stood on his father's tombstone and preached for 3 days to the public. He said this, I am well assured that I did far more good to my Lincolnshire parishioners by preaching 3 days on my father's tomb than I did preaching 3 years in the church. He said, to this day, field preaching is a cross to me, but I know my commission and see no other way to preaching the gospel to every creature but in the field. John Wesley made the famous statement, the world is my pulpit. It exercised our sovereign rights. The great General William Booth that started the Salvation Army said, no sort of defense is needed for preaching outdoors. But it would take a very strong argument to prove that a man who has never preached beyond the walls of his meeting place has done his duty. A defense is required for services within buildings rather than for worship outside of them. What he said? He said you would have to defend more to preach in a church than you would outside. Everybody in that Bible is an outdoor preacher. Jonathan Edwards said, preach abroad. It is the cooping ourselves up in rooms that has dampened the work of God, which never was and never will be carried out to any purpose without going to the highways and hedges and compelling men and women to come in. Say, what is it? It exercises our sovereign right. I remember reading about a man one time. It was over in Indianapolis. And he had a big, in the 1800s, had a big convention there. All the big preachers had got together. And they titled it, How to Reach the Masses for Christ. And all the big preachers are there in their seminars and doing all this stuff. And while they were in there doing their little thing, trying to reach the masses, a young man stood on a street corner where they were at, and he pulled up an old apple crate and stood on it and began, and the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. While those clowns were in there trying to reach people for Jesus Christ, Dwight L. Moody got off the apple cart and led 1,000 people in the same building they walked out of, and 300 people got saved. Say, what is it? It exercises our sovereign right, brother. What God called us to do. Somebody said, I don't think you ought to do that. I don't think that's profitable. You tell the Lord that. He did it. You tell Dwight L. Moody that. You tell John Wesley. You want to tell me John Wesley and George Whitefield, Dwight L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon, Peter Cartwright, William Carey, the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, Luke, John, Charles Andrews, David Wood, Earl Ingram, Tommy Tillman, Peter Rutland. How are you going to tell me, brother, they didn't know what they were doing and you do? Huh? You say, I don't think y'all, what you going to do then? You got a better idea? Let's do it. I get them writing me on the internet all the time. Well, I don't think you ought to do that. I don't think you ought to write. I said, you tell me what to do. If it's better, and I'll do it. Amen. Amen. We're not trying to hog this. We're just trying to do something for God. Amen. If there's a better way, let us know. We'll try it. Like old brother Josh said one time, out there preaching to him. He said, if I could come out there and beg you on my knees to get you out of hell, I'd do it. Amen. It exercises our sovereign rights. If we don't exercise them, we're going to lose them. You know what this is? We're going to put this up in the church. It's the First Amendment. It's the most important amendment in our Constitution. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We're trying to exercise our religion. We're trying to exercise our sovereign right. Our religion, the freedom of speech, same thing. Or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. That's what we're doing. That right there. They called the police over us over there at Trustful a few weeks ago, y'all remember? And I mean, we're out there preaching, and I look over there and there's two police cars. And I went over there, policemen, and I told some of you, and walked to the car. I said, officers, everything okay? We doing anything wrong here? He said, you're doing everything right. He said, somebody complained about you guys preaching, and he had this up on his computer. He said, I'm fixing to go in there and give them the First Amendment. And I told him, I said, officer, well, we preach here because the building's closed and the business down there closes at 5, so we get out here at 5:15. We're trying to accommodate the business. He said, here's what he told me. He said, you can preach on any corner here any time. If they complain, doesn't matter. He said, as long as you got that First Amendment, they can't shut you up. And he thanked God for us using it. He said, you keep using it while we got it. You know what it does? It exercises our sovereign rights. Hey, the perverts get out there, don't they? There were 500 on the news last night. We saw them running around dressed up like women perverts. And they're out there gay pride all over the country. And the Christians are sitting around doing nothing. Climate change, folks. You know what they do? They go out there in Dakota, sit out in camps and tents for a year trying to stop that pipeline. The climate change people protest. They get out there and exercise rights. Every group in the world exercises a right but one. Amen. God's people. God's people are AWOL. Some of you are AWOL this morning. AWOL. MIA. Missing in action. You ought to get in the program. Sign up. Sign up. Brother Jeff, I love Brother Jeff. You mess with him, you messing with me. That's my brother. Brother Jeff said something a few weeks ago, and honest, I've been saved for 42 years, Brother Jeff, and I'll put it in the top five I've ever heard. We started talking about going on the streets. And Brother Jeff said, sitting right there, he said, I can't preach. He's about to. He said, I can't preach, but I can hold up a sign. He said, I'll hold it up for my grandchildren. Bless God, that's what I'm looking for right there. I'm looking for somebody that says, if I don't do this, my grandkids are going to lose their right, and this country's going to hell, and I'm going to take a stand for them. And he's been there nearly every time we've been out. He's been out there when he didn't feel good. He's been out there every kind of weather there is. You say, what are you doing? We're trying to exercise our sovereign rights, what God gave us. Because we don't do it, brother. I'm going to tell you, if you think these other churches are going to do it, you just suck and win. I was out here at Trustful here a while back. A couple of months ago, I was going to Home Depot during the day. And I pulled up in the lane there, and there were some ladies out there with Church of the Highland shirts on, standing out there, and I thought, well, glory to God, they're out there passing out tracts, Miss Amanda. Hallelujah. I was about ready to jump out of the car, man. And I went over there, and one of the ladies come out, and I said, what are y'all doing out here? Giving out gospel tracts, telling people about Jesus? She said, no, we're out here trying to raise funds for the woman center. Hey, they're not going to do nothing. You think 180 down the road is going to do this? You think Church of Highland? You think First Baptist? Where are they at?
Amen. Amen, brother.
They're not nowhere. We don't exercise the rights, brother. You say, preacher, we're just a handful. It's always a handful that starts it, brother. It's always a handful. It exercises our rights. I'll tell you something else it does. It excites the saints. Woo-hoo! God knows we need some excitement, don't we? Woo! It's good to see somebody that'll stand up and stand on the side of the road and take a stand for Jesus Christ. Brother, we see them come by and they just about jump out of the car, some of them. I'm serious. They give us money, they give us offerings, they give us water. I mean, we had a lady come by Trustful. She is hanging out the door, out the window. I thought she was going to fall out. Praising God, she is so excited. We saw a guy run by Trussell, and he was a good-looking guy with a nice suit on, gray-haired-looking man. You know him and his wife, and they were running by. Glory to God. I told somebody, might have been Miss Karen, I said, that good-looking man had to be a preacher to be that good-looking like me, man. How does a preacher right there be good-looking like that? It excites the saints of God. And brother, we need it. I remember a couple of times when I'd go to work down Old Springville Road, there'd be a black little girl. I've seen her two or three times out there. And she's just got a piece of poster paper. And she's just holding up with a big smile saying, Jesus loves you. Man, it makes my whole day. I don't care what happens after that. Man, I got it made after that. It looks like the saints of God. I've been praying about something to excite this church. Get us moving. Here a while back. And Miss Karen come in here one Sunday night. She just jumped out of the car and one step went from her car to the porch. Boom! She was so excited. She said, I saw these street preachers, these two young men. They were street preaching out in Trussville. She is so excited. And that's when Brother Earl was there. I've been praying about it. You know what? Those two young men came that night. God was in it. You know, it was Patrick and Josh. God brought them in. Same one she's excited about. They lit a fire and got us excited. You know what street preaching do? It'll excite the saints of God. It'll get them moving. Man, we need it. Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called and a few are chosen. I've heard a preacher say, many are cold and a few are frozen. I mean, seriously. God's people are frozen dead. They're dead, deaf, dumb, and blind. What we're trying to do is thaw them out a little bit. Give them a little bit to get excited about something. We were down there preaching Trussville one of the first times. About the first time we were out there. It was noon. Me and Josh, I think Brother Jeff was with us. And we're out there preaching, three or four of us, not many that day. And we're out there, got a bullhorn, we're out there preaching. And there's a business right down the street. Was you there that day? Came out, Brother Jeff. And a big guy come out of the business, and he put his arm around me, and he said, buddy, he said, preacher, I don't want you to quit. Amen. I don't want you to discourage you. He's a big old guy. He said, but we can't hear, we're on the phone. He said, if you don't mind, if you guys will just stay up here. He said, don't stop. You just keep going. He liked it. We started cutting it at 5:15 to give him a break. We had a lot of people come by, say, glory to God. Brother Josh is out there preaching, and a cop come by and took his microphone, his PA, and said, praise the Lord, brother. It excites the saints of God. Them police that came out there was called to us. It was a complaint. I went and preached after I talked to them a few minutes. And about 15 minutes later, I come back to him. He's sitting in the car, still there. There's two of them, two cars. And I asked him, I said, is it okay, officer? Did everything go off? He said, it's wonderful. He said, I'm just sitting here. He said, it's the best call I've had all day. And he said, I'm just sitting here doing some paperwork and enjoying the preaching. It'll excite the saints of God, brother. It exercises our rights. It'll get them excited. Brother, we go out there and you see people the other day, people will be videoing you. I feel like a movie star. I mean, we was out there at Trussell the other day so much, and man, there's so many people videoing us. I just walk around. Brad Pitt, man. I mean, they were. Weren't they? Every time you turn around, somebody got a camera on. One guy sat out there a whole hour videoing us one day, didn't he? Sitting out in his lounge, he had his camera out there. Hey, man, it excites the saints of God. And finally, somebody is taking a stand besides all the perverts out there. Finally, somebody will go out and do something. It excites the saints of God. I tell you what, I've been serving the Lord, been saved for 42 years. And I hadn't seen nothing excite people like this. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. I mean, we see so much of this. We see people holding their Bible up. We see the police waving, hanging us all. We're very rarely do we see a negative response. I was preaching out here at Walmart a couple of weeks ago out in Springville. And I had my phone right here in my pocket. Now I take it out, but I had my phone in my pocket. And I was out there preaching, you know. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And my phone did a auto ring. You know how they do. And it called my daughter, Rachel. And my daughter was out at lunch that day with some of her friends. Her and her husband with some of their friends, two or three couples. And she called me the next day. She said, "Dad, you was out there preaching the other day." And she said, "Street preaching." And she said, "It called my phone." And she said, "I put it out there on the table, put it on the speaker for all my friends to hear." She said, "Hey, y'all, listen to this. My dad's out in the street preaching. Listen." She said, "They were going crazy, Dad. They were going, 'This is amazing. I didn't know anybody. This is awesome. But I didn't know anybody ever done anything like this.'" It'll excite the saints of God. It'll encourage them. That's what we're trying to do. We get a lot of people come up to us and say, "Man, I need to do that in my church. I need to get that going in my church." It'll excite them. I tell you something else. It excites us. I get excited. Me and Jeff, we get on the street corner at Walmart. We, "Woo! Woo!" We'll quote a few verses. "Woo! Woo!" Miss Karen says, "Man, I sure wish I was a man. I'd be preaching out here," is what she told me. Brother Anthony, man, oh man. Samantha and Terry, y'all should have been there yesterday. They saw him out there. He's preaching. He's out there trussing that megaphone out there. "The Bible says." He's not out there 2 or 3 minutes either. He's out there 15 minutes preaching to them. We went out of Walmart yesterday. They're not letting us use a megaphone right now. He's down there in one of the corners. He was preaching the whole time, wasn't he, Miss Karen? He's over there, "And the Bible says." I told Miss Karen, I said, "Man, he's turned into a preaching machine, hasn't he?" You say, "Why, it excites you. You get excited." Oh, Brother Jeff, he's over there, you know, preaching down the road, but he keeps forgetting the verses, so he's cheating. He writing his verses back here so he can remember them. Whatever works, brothers. He gets so excited over there, Miss Debbie, down the road. He'll start preaching and getting messed up and all that stuff. And brother, I want to tell you, it excites us. It excites us. I get excited thinking about it. I remember Miss Maggie. She went with us a while back. And she was calling me. She saw the text. She said, "Brother Terry, I want to do something for God." And we start at 5:15. She is there at 4:30. Bad back, can hardly stand, bad headache, all the problems she's got. She stood out there for 2 hours holding one of them signs. 2 hours. Brother David said, I talked to him. She said, when we got home, she said that's all she could talk about. She was so excited. I read about a guy, his name is Dennis Angione. Dennis Angione is a street preacher. He's also the 6-time world champion guitar player, flat picking. He's good friends, he's best friends with Franklin Graham, and he's toured a lot with Billy Graham, some of his crusade. He's a full-fledged street preacher, Dennis is. And I heard this is on YouTube. You ought to get and listen to it. But he's on YouTube, and he's talking about, he's over in North Carolina when Billy Graham's preaching someplace, another country, he's over there, and he's riding in a car with Miss Graham, his wife, Billy Graham's wife. He said she's a spunky lady. On this tape, he says she catches rattlesnakes with her hands, what he said. He said they're riding along, and the driver's driving them, and they pull up by a pornography shop, and old Dennis said, "Y'all stop just a minute, let me get out for a second." And old Dennis jumps out of the car on the corner by that porno shop and starts preaching the Word of God. And a man comes out, threatens him and all this stuff, call the cops, and he gets back in the car, and he gets in, and Miss Ram looks at him and said, "You get right back out there." She said, "They're going to arrest me." He said, "I don't care." She said, "You get right back out there and preach the gospel." He said he gets out there and gets preaching, and the police come and arrest him. And she gets out of the car, and she said, "He's with me." And he said, "I don't know her. He's trying not to get her." He said, "I don't know who she is." She said, "Officer," the officer knew her. She said, "Miss Graham, he's with you?" She said, "He's with me." And the police let him go. And Miss Graham says, "What do we have to do to get him to preach here?" And the police said, "I guess you got to have a permit." They didn't know. She told the driver, "Let's go to the courthouse." She went to the courthouse and she told the clerk there, she said, "We want a permit to preach on the street." He said, "I don't have one." She said, "Just make one up." He wrote it out for her. He knew who she was. She said they went back there, Dennis said, they went back there that day and preached. At night, they got back, and that night, Billy Graham called her. Her husband, he's over there preaching. She got on the phone, she said, "Billy," she said, "I've had the most exciting day of my whole life." She said, me and Dennis, we went to the pornography shop and we got arrested and they took us to the courthouse and we're going back tomorrow. She left out the street preaching part. And Billy Graham said, let me talk to Dennis a minute. You know what? It excites the saints of God, brethren. It exercises our right. It excites the saints of God. I tell you something else. It exposes the Savior. That's what we're trying to do. Expose means to make visible, make available, make something known. This is the first time a lot of those people in those cars will ever hear about a Savior. Now they've heard about Joel Osteen's self-esteem God and all these Jesus at these church, but brother, we're preaching one thing and we're preaching a Savior is what we're preaching about. Over and over and over. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Luke 2:11, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. It exposes the Savior to the world. Over and over and over. We don't preach Pearl Lake Baptist Church. We tell them over and over and over, we're not here to preach the church. The church can't save you. The Pope can't save you. Your good works can't save you. The only thing that can save you is the Lord Jesus. We expose them to the Savior. Our message is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, and I'm going to tell you, they get the message too. They get it over everybody that stands up there and preaches. That's what they hear over and over and over and over. It exposes them to the Savior. A lot of those people have never heard what they're hearing that day. Most of them hadn't. I remember Brother Odell preaching there at the adult bookstore that time. I've told you, he used to go down there and preach it at an adult bookstore on East Lake. And he's out there preaching that time, out there standing across the street from him preaching. And a guy was going to go in that thing. And Odell met this guy years ago. And Odell's on the street and he met this guy. And Odell asked him, are you saved? He said, yeah, I'm saved. He said, let me tell you, I got saved. He said, I was going in that adult bookstore one time years ago. And he said, I was getting ready to go in there. And there was a crazy street preacher across the road preaching. And he said, I couldn't get out and go while that preacher's preaching. See, I rode down the road a while and rode around a while and thought I'd come back and that preacher would be gone. He said, I came back and that crazy preacher's still out there. He said, I rode around a little bit longer and he said, I was going to go back in and that crazy preacher's still there. And he said, I just figured that was God. He said, I went to church the next day and got saved. And Brother Odell said, I'm the crazy street preacher. You know what it does? It exposes the Savior to the world. It exercises our right. It excites the saints of God, brethren. I'll tell you something else it does. It'll expound the Scriptures. I love that word expound. That's a King James Bible word. Expound means to explain and to lay open the meaning. Mark 4:34 said, without a parable spake he unto them, and when he there was alone, he expounded all the things to his disciples. And Luke 24:7, it said, he beginning in Moses, he expounded unto them. Acts 18:26, and he expounded to them the way of God. I love that word, expound. And what we're trying to do is expound the Scriptures. Most of those, you see these signs? Every one of these signs are somewhere when we're on the road. We stack them up on the side. Ladies are holding these signs. Men are holding these signs. People are preaching. And everybody that comes by, you watch them. Every one of them over there, you'll watch them mouthing reading those signs. They get, and I'm not being facetious or exaggerating, but these people are getting more Bible in that moment than they've got in their whole life right there. And brother, that's enough to get the whole world saved right there. We're trying to expound the Scriptures. Now, I like that word expound. It's a cross between X and pound. When you put X in front of something, you know what it means? Extra. Let me illustrate for you what we're trying to do real quick. See this? That's pounding. That's expounding. That right there is what we're trying to do. We're trying to knock something in them, a hole in them so big, and God can do something is what we're trying to do. We're trying to expound the Scriptures. Brother, we stand up and hold up the signs. 25% of the churches have never heard the Scripture quoting. Isaiah 55 says, "My word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "And the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." We're trying to expound the Scriptures and put a seed in their heart. You know what we see a lot of times? We'll see these kids. They'll come by and they'll hear us and see us out there. And the Bible says, every one of them kids will roll the window down, won't you, Brother Brian? And every one of them parents will be like, yes. They're under conviction. They don't want to hear that. And that kid's over there and they're reading them verses. You can see them mouthing it. And let me tell you something, folks. That might be the only Bible they get for 10 years. But it might come along one day in their life, 10 years later, and they'll remember that street preacher and remember those Bible verses, and there's no telling what God will do for them. Hey, it could be one of your kids out there, man. It could be one of your grandkids that's getting the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're trying to expound the Scriptures. Over there in Luke chapter 8, that sower went out to sow a seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down. He just threw it everywhere. He threw it on stony ground. He threw it on rocks. That's what we try to do. We try to throw it and sling it everywhere we can. There's no telling what God will do with that seed. I tell them all the time out there. We're standing out there. I say, there's no telling what God's doing with what we're doing. I mean, all we're doing is planting the seed. All we're doing is watering the seed. God's the one that gives the increase. But I said, there's no telling. I have no doubt in my mind, and I'll meet anybody at the judgment seat of Christ. I have no doubt in my mind, I'll meet people in heaven that got saved indirectly or directly because we're standing out on that street holding Scripture signs and preaching the gospel. He may not get saved right there, but brother, seeds are planted, seeds are word, and God's got something to work with in their life. We're trying to expound the Scriptures. Not only that, it exercises our right. It expounds the Scriptures. It excites the saints of God. It exposes the Saviors. I want to say something else it does. It exploits the Spirit of God. That word exploit means to make full use of and derive a benefit from. We're trying to make full use of the Spirit of God and trying to get something in their life that the Holy Ghost can derive a benefit from sometime. 1 Corinthians 3:6. I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to get something in their lives, something that God can use to get them out of hell and straighten out their lives. And brother, if that don't work, we might as well quit and go home and close up because that Bible's a joke. That's all we can do. Might be your grandkid, might be somebody new. May not happen tomorrow, may not happen next year. But what we're doing out there is planting seeds and watering seeds, and we're exploiting the Spirit of God, and we're giving the Holy Spirit something to work in people's. It don't take much to be saved. That's enough right there to save Springville right there. Sitting right there. One little verse to do it if they're looking for it. Had dying faith, Lord, remember me when I come as thy kingdom. Today shalt thou be. It was that simple. It don't take a whole lot. We're just trying to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Trying to get something in life. We don't know. You don't know what's hitting that life. You don't know what's going on. You don't know the pain. Every time I look at those cars, I think to myself, there's somebody going to heaven. There's somebody going to hell. You'll see conviction. You watch those cars, you'll see people like this with their head down. They won't look at you. What's going on? They're under conviction. They're under conviction. We're trying to give the Holy Ghost something to work in their lives. Get them moving. Get them going. I like what old James Knox talks about that on one of the tapes he's got. He talks about putting this stuff out, preaching to these people, giving them the seeds. He said, you don't know. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. It might be 20 years down the road. He said, there's a lot of men out there today. He said, he gave this illustration, which is good. He said, they don't hate God. He said they just don't have time for God and they're just running from God. Their life's too cramped. He said the day's going to come, their kids will be grown, everybody will be out of the house, they'll be retired, they'll be bored out of their mind, and maybe at that time God can speak to them. Maybe those seeds that were planted to grow at that point. He talked about is out there preaching in Florida. That's where they're at. Janet Reno was the governor, I think, at the time. She may have been the attorney general. But her big entourage came in. And Brother James Knox and his church are out there preaching, holding signs. And the Homeland Security guy comes out there, or the police chief comes out and introduces the Homeland Security folks and the Secret Service to James Knox and said, "Hey, I want y'all to meet. This is Pastor James Knox." Police chief told him. He said he's a street preacher, and he said they're going to be out here preaching. I want you to know they got the right to do it. And he said he's a good guy, but they're going to be preaching. Just to let you know what's going on. And he said when they were doing that, all of a sudden, he was standing alone there with Janet Reno. Just him and her. Everybody left. And he said he did this. He grabbed her by the hand. Both his hands. He said, "I never do this." But he said, "I took both her hands. And I looked at her and I said, 'You know, Miss Reno, one of these days that crowd's going to go away.'" She said, "All these people around you, they're not going to be here anymore." And he said, "You're going to be all by yourself." And he said, "I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you." And he said, "I want you to know that Jesus Christ died for you to get you out of hell." And he said, tears were coming down her eyes. And he's holding her hand. And she thanks him for it. And he said a couple of years later, he saw an article in the paper where she's got breast cancer or some cancer. And it said in the article that she moved up in the mountains to get away from everybody. And he got thinking about what he's telling her. Maybe what he told her, just get away with the Lord, had something to do with it. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to exploit the Spirit of God. We're trying to exercise our rights. I'll tell you something else it does real quick. It exterminates self. Street preaching, I got news for you. You don't get to run out there and pomp around like a lot of these preachers do. You spit and slobber and about fall apart out there. I remember we was going to Trestle one time we started. My wife was in there ironing. She said, "I'm ironing this shirt for you to go street preaching." I said, "I don't need no shirt iron to go street preaching, that's for sure." Right? I mean, brother, you get out there, it exterminates the self. That's why a lot of preachers don't like it, brother. Because you get out there, it's just you and God. Old self has to die down, brother. I mean, you just got to put it down. I remember when Brother Jeff went out there to Five Point South with us that night. First time he'd been out. And that's radical. Brother, man, we got out there. You go out there and got that bullhorn. Stand in the middle of that town square where that demon-possessed frog is, whatever that thing is. And old Brother Patrick starts off with that bullhorn, and that thing's echoing 10 miles, man. Got all the drunks and bars there. It's 10 o'clock at night. And the Bible says, and old Brother Jeff looks at me, eyes just big. Man, I've never been around anything like this in my life. I said, "Brother Jeff, it's the way they did it in the old days." And he said, "This is the way we need to do it today." I remember Miss Karen, she came out there the first time. I remember she told me, when we started up, she said, "I don't know if God's in this or not now." Didn't she? And after a few minutes, she said, "I sure wish I was a man. I'd be out here preaching too." After the old self gets down, brother, I want to tell you, God to get in that thing, because it'll put the self down. It exterminates self. I love it when I put this self down too, by the way. I remember the first time I ever went street preaching. I preached 100 times in the street where I dared get up there. But I preached 100 times where I was called to preach. But I've been praying about it. And I'd gotten right with God. And I've been reading John Wesley's journal about him street preaching. I thought, man, Lord, I'd like to do that. I'd love to. I didn't know anybody did it. It's easy to tell God you'll do something when you don't have to do it. I found out. And I'd say, man, Lord, I'd love to do it. I'd get out there, Lord, and let her rip. I didn't think anybody did that. Thought that was the day of John Wesley. Two men come by my house, visit me from the church. Their names was Charles Andrews and Greg Gibson. Greg Gibson's the best street preacher I've ever seen. He's not called to preach, but he's the best street preacher I've ever seen. And they come by the house to see me. Brother Linton gave me my name. And we got talking, man. We became real good fellowship. And I asked him, I said, "Where y'all going?" They said, "We're going downtown to do some street preaching. You want to go?" "We do what? What'd you say?" The Lord said, "Isn't that what you've been praying for?" "Me? Me, Lord? Me? I never get it. We went downtown back in and had what's that place where all the bus station was? Had that big store down there. There'd be hundreds of people there at the bus. And we'd stand up on a newspaper stand and stand about this high in big cement newspaper stands. And we'd get out there on that thing. There's hundreds of people out there. And we'd say, and the Bible says. I'll never forget it. I went down there that morning, that Saturday morning with them two guys. And man, I was like this. I'll never forget it. And we went down there and got on that street corner. Greg Gibson was the first one that did I ever heard. And that guy's got a mouth. He got a voice like a boom, boom. And I'll never forget, he climbed up on top of that newspaper stand about this high. And he began, and the Bible said, whoa! What did I get into? Good night. And I remember thinking, man, I hope nobody sees me down here. Lord. I saw more people that day than I'd sent there 2 years. Everybody I knew coming through that place, it seemed like. So what he'll do? He'll exterminate the self, brother. He'll get down there and put the self down. It's all about God. It exterminates the self. I like what John Wesley said. He said, it is no marvel that the devil does not love field preaching, neither do I. I love a commodious room, a soft cushion, a handsome pulpit, but where is my zeal if I do not trample all these underfoot in order to save one more soul? It exterminates the self. It exercises our rights. It expounds the scriptures. It exposes the Savior. It saints the saint, the God. I'll give you one more thing. It exhorts the sinner. That word exhort means to warn. It means to plead with them. It's a Bible term. Over there in Titus 1:9, it said, holding fast the faith of the word, as ye have been taught, that he may be able, as sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Exhort means entice, argument, advice, and to warn. What we're trying to do is warn the sinner they're going to hell, is what we're trying. We're trying to expose the Savior and exhort that sinner to come to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, brother, they pay attention to you too. They know what you're doing now. They know you're not Joel Osteen. They know you're not Church of Highlands. They know you're the real deal trying to get them out of hell while you're out here. They know you're not playing games while what we're doing. They know that's the real deal right there. We watch them. Boy, you'll see them Christians coming up, throwing those thumbs up, raising their Bible. You'll see people like this all over the place. God speaking to them. I was down 5 points south. One of them times I was down there, had a guy come there drunk down there, half of them, you know. One of them came up to me. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. What are you doing down here? He said, what are you trying to get out of coming down here? And I said, I'm not trying to get anything out of coming out of here. I said, I'm trying to get you out of hell, buddy, is what I'm trying to do. And pointed my finger at him. He did that. You know what he did? He grabbed my hand like this. He said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Had tears in his eyes. He knew what I was trying to do. I wasn't down there trying to scam him. I wasn't down there trying to trick him. I was trying down there to get him out of hell is what I was trying to do. And he knew it too. So what does it do? It exhorts the sinner. Somebody's got to do it. Charles Spurgeon said this, if sinners be down, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they perish, let them perish with some arms about their knees. Let no one go to hell unwarned and unprayed for. What we're trying to do. General William Booth, one of the greatest street preachers to ever live, said this, not called, did you say? Not heard the call? He said, put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid go you and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house for their lost brothers and sisters. And then look Jesus Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart, soul, and body and circumstances in the march to pull one of them out of hell. See, why don't you do it, preacher? try to exhort that sinner. I'll close you with this. Here's an article I found on the internet. It's written by a lost person. And it's written, is it from the Michigan Review newspaper? The title of it is Defense of Street Preachers. This is a lost person. Street preachers are preaching there at the University of Michigan, what she refers to. I think it's a girl. On more than a few occasions during my time here at the Wolverine, I found myself trapped, trasping through the dialogue, more often than not on my way to class, but sometimes just meandering about, enjoying the outdoors, the scenery, the people. And on a few occasions, there's been a preacher, a sidewalk religious man or woman, preaching and holding up colorful signs. Even though these people verbally accost me with the God of Jonathan Edwards, an angry fire and brimstone chap, they are quick to pair that uplifting injunction with a Jesus saves message, and right they should, because He does. We should be thanking these men and women who endure our glares, our scorn, our silent judgment, and our not so silent judgment, because they rip us from our carefully crafted facades. They rudely intrude into our delicately assembled fantasy and remind us that we do not, and say and think we believe, matter for goodness sake. These individuals function as stand-ins for God in a world that has forgotten what it means to truly love, that is, to sacrifice, even to die for another. They present a vision of a way to love more deeply than modern man will ever care to admit is possible. They brave the cold and the sideways looks because they have found a lover worth their entire existence, everything they were, are, and could be to Him. The street preacher in his or her functionary role as a messenger of God is intrusive, a bother, a drag. What they present to me is messy and challenging, even if so only because it angers me. They irritate me, and this is what they should do. For God often behaves quite rudely. He bursts into our lives when we don't feel like He belongs. He refuses to be tamed, shunned in a corner, or slowed in a box. He stubbornly refuses to disappear from people's imaginations or from civilization, no matter how sex positive a society we create. And despite our new discoveries, for some He presents Himself to them in their darkest moments when they'd much prefer to be left alone in the misery. These preachers, they serve to prod my conscience, calling me again to recognize a timeless truth that I am weak, a broken, sinful human being in need of a Savior who can understand me when I am too afraid to confront myself because of what I might find, a God who will be the answer to questions I don't even know wanted to ask. Let us recall the street preacher, that individual who reminds us, even when we don't wish to hear it, that our world is more enchanted than we recognize, that things are not as bad as they might seem, and there exists more love than we can possibly imagine. That's a good description of what we're trying to do right there. Somebody told Ben a while back, well, at the 5 points out, they said, we're intruding into their privacy. We sure are, told Brother Ben. We're trying to intrude every part of their lives and keep them out of hell. We're trying to get God in that thing as much as possible and keep them from going to hell. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You this morning.